Well, welcome back to Talk with Tom this morning, and Representative Roger Victory, am I correct there?
That's correct, Ed. It's a pleasure to join you this
and
morning.
And I understand you're part of, what, Victory Farms or something? Hudsonville.
That's right.
What do you raise out of there? Is that celery and onions?
A lot of vegetable crops.
Really?
Turnips, parsnips, leek, rutabagas, a lot of winter squash. So that, a little shower rain right now would be good, but it's been a good growing season.
Yeah, wow. Well, anyway, you're representative from the 88th District, that is Eastern Ottawa County.
That is correct, Ed.
That used to be where Representative
Dave Agema
used to serve.
The communities of Georgetown Township going all the way up to the northern part of the Chester Township.
Really?
Living Ale Mill, yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
What are we going to talk about this morning? What is going on in the House of Representatives there in Lansing?
Well, right now we're on our summer break. However, we're doing some good work on behalf of the constituents. One, I'm serving on a school bond loan fund committee. In fact, I'll be meeting this coming Wednesday. I'm chairing that group. It's dealing with some of the issues we face of the funding of the construction of our schools and some of these liabilities they're facing on the financial liabilities aspect. So we'll be meeting throughout the summer, and hopefully it can address some of these concerns because of some legislation that was passed last fall, and seeing what there's some aspects of hitting a cap on this fund and other areas. But it was needed. We had to get some reforms done on it, but I'm just going to take a careful look at it and see once there's some nuances in that area. So that's one aspect that we'll be dealing with. And other work groups are meeting in Lansing, too. So I get to see my fellow colleagues busy at work serving the constituents.
Still hearing from Rick Snyder yet about that vote on, what was that, for Obamacare and Medicaid?
The expansion of the Medicaid program aspect.
Right.
The Senate's been actually doing some work group, breakout groups on that, studying the issues and seeing if there's some additional reform that could be taking place on there. So it was passed through the House, and now at this point in time, the Senate's addressing that, and they'll see what their viewpoint on that.
Is it going to be, if there ever is, when there is a vote, is that going to be in the fall or beyond that?
It'll be interesting. I'm kind of keeping a close eye on that there, too. So it's something that'll be unique how that comes about. They can come back into session at point in time, too, if they feel that. So, but right now, I believe they're digging into it and seeing once there's some additional reforms that could take place and nuance that there some.
Boy, it's really an interesting case, and it's...
That is, Ed.
Mm-hmm. I was reading in the news in the last hour. I was looking at some reports, now the Department of Justice may reopen it, but somebody has stepped in and saying, wait just a minute here, and that's the FBI.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of... And you served.
We were just discussing earlier.
Right.
I served as a juror on a murder case here in Ottawa County several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to understand the perspective of a juror and the information coming forward. And one aspect, I believe they overreached with the charges on this case.
Right.
They went for second degree murder. And you look at the circumstances that occurred on here. So it is an interesting process as a juror. You don't get all the information from the media when it's playing out. You base your decision on what's brought forth through the court, what information the defense brings forward, and what the prosecution. And that's the way how the system's set up, and that's how we have the jury system, which we are based our legal system on. And it has proven itself over the years.
And it was a fascinating case. It happened all within a week, but you could just see the tide turn a little bit where it looked like it was going to be a definite thing. And then some of these witnesses came in, and it was just, and that, like you say, the overage, that was just really something near the end of the trial where they were
changing
rules.
Then they went for the manslaughter situation. And that proves probably there was a lot of public pressure put on the prosecutor bring forward. And that's where the system has worked, apparently, and also make sure there's outside influence should not be involved in this system.
Yeah, and the whole thing, was tragic all the way around.
It is.
Let's face it.
The family, Trayvon, his mother and father lost there, and also Mr. Zimmerman there, too. I mean, his life is never going to be the same, so it's tragic on both
for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother and father of Trayvon, it was just very interesting how classy they were when the verdict came in, and they were trying to be very conciliatory, not trying to incite a lot of problems here, but the mother particularly did, had a...
It is very interesting that those who are involved and those who really were affected, how they acted, and it seemed these outside interest groups seemed they were utilizing this situation for their self-serving agenda.
And again, yesterday with all the responses, every nook and cranny people came out and had comments about it, and it was just...
And I almost that could be about the tragedy here.
Yeah,
they're using
right.
the death of a young man here, and also the George Zimmerman, and using it for the serving their own
self-interest.
Yeah, yes. self-interest.
Right. Well, what else is, let's get back to our Michigan.
A couple of exciting things, especially in the agricultural front. This past Saturday, we had Breakfast on the Farm in Coopersville. Over 2,800 people participated in that event.
And great turnout.
It is. And bringing those people that typically don't get an opportunity to go onto what we call a real working farm, come in there and see what's going on at the farming operation. So that was a thank you for all the volunteers that put this event together and also the Walt family there in Coopersville, and the tremendous amount of work of getting that prepped. It's not just that day, but the weeks have had preparation time and the dozens of volunteers. So that was a great event. And also we're coming up with Ag Expo. I'll be attending the breakfast tomorrow morning at Michigan State University on grounds there. And I know many of our agricultural producers are heading out there, and typically the governor will join in for breakfast on there. So looking forward to engaging with the agricultural community there too. Tomorrow.
I'm glad we have somebody in the legislature that is very farm oriented. We need that because
it's a key component to our economic growth in the state of Michigan. The agriculture community is going along strong, and also the value added entities that we have here in West Michigan. We look at the expansion of the new milk processing facility in Coopersville. Mm-hmm. Millions of dollars being invested in there, increasing the tax base there, and look at and also a number of agricultural processing facilities. I call them value added. Systems right here in West Michigan, throughout the state of Michigan, growing our economy.
What are your views on the Farm Bill of Washington? Was it a good bill? Was it watered down? And I know there are a lot of...
There's a couple of components. There's, in the Farm Bill, there's a nutrition processor, and we've been growing that readily over the years, and I think that had to be under review and see the expansion of that there, which the House Republicans at the federal level took some control over. But there's one thing there's which I believe, and there's been a shift from these to a insurance program. Instead of these direct payments going to these growers, and the justification for that, we could do a real deep drill on it, which would get very boring. But basically, we're moving in the right direction. Removing these direct payments to these growers and building a system so there's a crop insurance process available to the growers. So in that way, if there's a tragedy of a weather event, and that they would have insurance available that would not be available for them in the private enterprise system because the uniqueness of the agricultural producers.
Now, how's it looking in Michigan crop-wise? It's looking fairly decent.
Very well.
This year,
much better than last year. We had that frost that hurt our fruit growers.
Oh, it was a travesty last year.
The fruits are pretty full. And also for the processing industry, I mean, it's critical that we get another crop coming in place there, because if you go back-to-back 2 years, that processing industry will start to look for other sourcing. And then once they leave, you can't capture that market back. So,
I saw an interview last year where this poor farmer, his entire crop was wiped out. Mm-hmm. He says, I can last for a year, but I have no income for this year. That's terrible.
It is terrible. And in fact, a fellow legislator, Representative Dave Pagel, is an apple producer and also a packer shipper. And basically, his whole facility is mothballed. And he said, it's been a struggle. I talked to him and some of the numbers that he was incurring, trying to just... the cost of just keeping a business open when there's no revenue at all. There's these fixed costs. It looks very promising for him. The trees are producing, and he's looking forward to a much better year for his business going forward. And that's one of the unique things about serving legislation. There's so many different people. I mean, the dynamic of it.
Yeah, I was going to say that, the aspects. Yes, I read an interview with a cherry farmer up north in Traverse City, and he said with the immigration bill, with the farm bill, that they said our cherries are just hanging on the branches right now.
Yep.
They have to be. We have a bumper crop this year, and boy, it's They need people to pick those cherries.
Not only in the agricultural sector, but I drive around the Holland community. Look at these manufacturers, the help wanted signs.
Yeah.
In fact, I was at a Michigan Chamber event for West Michigan this morning, and I spoke on behalf a little bit of the Michigan Merit Curriculum situation and how we need opportunities for our young people to meet these, with a skill set, to meet these jobs and opportunities. When you drive by these manufacturing facilities with a help wanted sign, that their skill set is available to these young people to meet those jobs.
Yeah, exactly. I talked to someone last week that got hired by a local company that just started up a company here in Holland, and he said, we've been training for 3 weeks and learning our jobs, and they're teaching us what to do, and like you say, the skill set.
Yep.
See, he said, I'm making all this money, and all I'm doing is sitting and listening to somebody teaching us. You know,
right.
They're paying us, you know, to teach us because they need these people.
Yep. This is so this is a critical need, and when I number of these business owners that were attending the meeting, their heads were nodding up and back. They realize this is one of the biggest roadblocks they're facing right now to expand the economy, bring this economic development to West Michigan, and you can't grow unless you got the skill set, the people to employ.
That's right. Back to Representative Roger Victory this morning, representative from the district of Eastern Ottawa County, 88th District. Getting back to that farm bill, there's been squabbles about that, hasn't there?
Yeah, that there has. And actually, the Senate chairperson who chairs that.
And we're talking U.S. government.
U.S. government.
Yeah.
Is from the state of Michigan, Senator Stabenow.
Yeah,
and one aspect is Michigan produces a lot of specialty crops. And this is something that they actually have worked in with the Farm Bill to address concerns of the specialty crop producers here in the state of Michigan, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a unique twist there. Make sure that the whole agriculture community and their needs can be addressed. And a lot of that is going right back to the crop insurance, making sure that instead of the direct payment, so I call the welfare check going to the farmers and that type of scenario, go away from that system. And what is a need is basically providing a service that would be one of the tools of crop insurance, to like we had it with the fruit growers last year.
Right.
That way they're available to have that protection and keep themselves in the business and continue to be a viable part of their economic growth.
No, have we had final passage of that bill?
No,
it's still in play.
Limbo.
Yep. Okay, in play.
But it's something. If they do not pass the farm bill, then goes back to the 1947 provisions, and there's some very unique areas that's really not an option yet.
Yeah. Right.
So they'll get their something moved forward there. And
I was going to say, how long have we been? It's been a few years since we've had a new farm.
But there's been some serious concerns. You know, as the nutrition process continues to grow and grow, and that's a heavy burden on the taxpayers. And you and I, we know that's the funding. And as our economy grows, then there's some less reliance on that too. So we, you know, as the economic conditions of the United States gets to be better, and here in the state of Michigan too, you know, we're moving forward. The good work of the Governor Snyder has gone forward, and the previous legislators laid that foundation forward, and we continue to grow. Then, you know, we got to review some of these aspects and where we're spending this money on. We got to be accountable to taxpayers.
Because a part of the hang-up in the U.S. Farm Bill was food stamps.
Mm-hmm. That's the nutrition part.
Yeah. Does that have to do with school lunch programs, too, or is that
somewhat
different?
There, but basically it's the that nutritional aspect, and that's all a part of there, too. And but it's that programs have grown and grown and grown over the year, and I think that's where our Republican colleagues in the House at the federal level took a look at that and say, hey, we got to take a careful look at this and see what's the federal government's facing some serious deficits.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And these involve billions of dollars.
Yeah, almost trillions at times.
Well,
yeah. Seems to be in Lansing, we deal with the billions, and then the federal, they have the trillions. So it's all big numbers. But this is serious money that that you and I and the taxpayers of the state of Michigan are paying. And
you've
got to have accountability on that.
We have a reminder here that you'll have a chance to hear Holland Mayor Kurt Dykstra and City Manager Ryan Cotton talk about the future of Holland. And that will be Tuesday, July 16th, 7 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church. That's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. The church is located at 28th and State Streets in Holland. Mm-hmm. Well, we I had a chance the other night to go out in the boat. We had a beautiful moonlight cruise. The moon was out.
The weather has been tremendous, especially for our tourist industry.
No, it was a nice rolling wave. And I'm talking late now. I'm talking 11 o'clock at night. And the moon was just glimmering on the roads. And we still have, this is a national thing, but we did get some dredging done, right?
That's right.
That is going on.
And the best part is we had the precipitation this winter with snowfall, along with the heavy rains this spring. And there's no better remedy to this dredging issue is the natural remedy, which raising the water level that direction.
Because some of these harbors, Saugatuck being one of them, that finally got included in this, but they literally had to get approval for that because it was destroying the harbor area.
There,
you just couldn't move around. I was out of the lake, and I was out off Big Bay there coming around the corner from the marinas. And we hit bottom. Gently hit bottom, and we were way out in the lake.
And I saw some aerial views of that, and you could see those sandbars looking. It was very disturbing. This was back into realizing this was something that had to be taking place. And I serve on the Natural Resources Committee, and we took up a number of these bills, streamlined the process, also made it less cumbersome, if you know, for these dredging spoils, and re-evaluated that. So that way this could be more speedily done, which was a critical issue. Because we're investing a fair amount of money in this Pure Michigan campaign, and I don't know, Ed, have you noticed all the out-of-state license plates flying around our community?
Yes.
Tremendous numbers. So we have to have these amenities set and these assets in condition. So when these people come in, spend their money in the area, pay the taxes to help support our roads and other aspects, and that's, we got to have, you know, a classy.
I've talked about that on this program when I sit in for Duke, where I think maybe people won't agree with me, but I think if we need funds for road repair, what a better way than raise the state sales tax 1% from 6% to 7%, all the visitors from out of state to from
Indiana. We're
a tourist state, and help them pay for the road, or help us pay for the road.
There's no better way than bringing outside state money coming in.
Rather than raising to absorbent levels registration fees and licenses.
Let those people coming from Illinois, Ohio, and throughout the whole United States who enjoy our great state spend their money here and help them contribute to our infrastructure needs. I think that's the best, one of the better funding methods.
Exactly. You're meeting with constituents right now. Mm-hmm. What has been some expressed concerns to you?
The roads, the condition of the roads, and also they're getting a sustainable funding mechanism to keep that roads up to repair and preserve our investments that we placed in those roads over the past generations.
Sure.
And so that's one of the key issues there. And also been hearing, you know, continue to create an economic environment out there to, grow the state economy. And also from a lot of employers trying to find those workers that will meet the need. Just yesterday in church, I talked to a couple of the builders, and they have a lot of work, but they, building the residential homes and some commercial work, and they're just exhausted because they need to find that skill set to do that construction work and meet the needs.
I don't mean to be negative here, but what scares me is what could bring this all to a quick, downturn would be the price of gas.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
energy costs.
I'm reading this morning that now they found out that Saudi Arabia has a bunch of launch sites for missiles aimed at Iran and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, something like that, or if, say, with the Egypt situation.
Just notice how that has affected the pricing. Yep.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons given for the last price increase. Now, I hear this is probably temporary, that it's going to go down in another week or two. I hope that's true.
I hope so, too, but that's so volatile. You look at the price.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You look at the price of gasoline, you see that roller coaster effect.
Oh.
When you look at the cost of diesel fuel, it stays a little more constant. So it's a kind of a unique marketing thing on that process.
But anything big in the Middle East, and boy,
so
can you imagine if, say, that this is just I don't mean to be a devil's advocate here, say $10 a gallon for gas. You have a 20-gallon tank, $200 to fill up. That's just unheard of.
That's why it's so critical. We have to be energy self-reliant. We have a lot of natural gas resources available, and that Keystone Pipeline, get that completed coming out of Canada. You know, those are things that we're going to build our economy on.
We have, I guess we don't. Oh, I see what we're doing here. And we do have a caller. Caller, you have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Okay. Lately, there's been an ad running. You were talking about home builders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's been an ad that says that people want to buy homes, but that there's not enough homes for sale, you know, to help these.
There's a shortage of available to homes. So you talk to realtors, and so people have been going toward new homes, but yet there's not enough builders available. And so it's a lot of people are entering the market. It's a great opportunity, low interest rates. So, yeah.
We are out of time here, but I'd like to thank you very much for being with us. Juke will be with you next time.
And, well, Ed, it's a pleasure, as always.
Yeah, nice meeting you.
Yes.
Gary was telling me how you were the owner or part owner or whatever of the Victory Farms in Hudsonville, very well known in the Hudsonville area. And it's businesses like that that we need regionally to make this all very successful. So thanks for being with us.
And again, thanks, Ed.
How do you like it in the legislature?
Well, what a great experience. What
it's a great ride.
What an opportunity to serve the constituents.
I don't know if you remember, one of my nephews was a former legislator in the House, David Pelsrock.
Oh, yes.
That's my nephew.
Wow. So. Excellent.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
1450 WHCC, Edward Skier sitting in for Juke Vanoss.